Hello. This is Dr. Patricia Wurikun. Let's give a big warm welcome.
Okay, well, what songs you sing? Happy day when God washed your sins away. And you'll never be the same, you sang. Just for a moment. Did you really mean that? Did you? Let's hear a big shout if you did. Yeah! Well done. Thank you. Now I'm ready to speak to you. But before I start, you're probably thinking, what is this old subcontinental woman got to tell us of the cyber generation about anything, basically, isn't it? So let me just give you a quickie version of who I am. My name is Patricia Wurikun. I was born in the tea plantations of Sri Lanka. I went to medical school in Sri Lanka and did my postgraduate study in Hawaii. That's kind of where I got into sex. I was studying sex and worshiping in a wonderful Southern Baptist church. And during that time, I was able to bring my twin passions of God and sex together. After that, I moved back to my mother country, to Sri Lanka, and I worked at the medical faculty there as a lecturer. And 30 years ago, my son and I and my husband moved to Australia. I've been a lecturer with the University of Sydney for 24 years in the area of sexual health. And for the last 8 years before retirement, 6 years ago, I was director of a graduate program in sexual health. So I retired at 65, which means now I'm 71. I am 45 years married. So which means I have studied more, researched more, read more, spoken more, done more teaching and done more therapy and everything else about sex than all of you young people put together. And being married for 45 years, I've had more sex than all of you young people put together. And please note I said young people because I'm sure there's parents here who have had more sex than me. So we'll let that one pass. So what are we going to talk about today? What I'd like to do is in the next 40 minutes or so, just basically, can we have the first slide, please? Talk to you. You might be thinking, oh no, we came here to hear about sex. We came for sex. That's why we were singing so joyously. But the reality is that you will realize that there's a lot more to sex than just what's between your legs. It's really between your ears that we need to start thinking about. So what I'd like to talk to you about is your brain, your body, and then we'll talk about sexuality and your behavior. So let's have the next slide, thank you. So we need to first think, and I almost think I don't have to do this for you, because you were singing in your earlier song, we look to the Son. We look to Jesus. You already said it. But we need to just go back and think, is this where the world is looking for satisfaction, especially when it comes to sex and relationship? Jesus clearly said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. My dear young people, you are here today because you believe this truth. True? Yes. Little bit more enthusiasm? Yes. Thank you. You are here today because you believe this, that Jesus and Jesus only can truly fulfill your every longing. Unfortunately, that is not what you will hear from your friends, from social media. You will be told that you can look for satisfaction and sex in a temporary high. And that is like looking into the trash bins and the toilet cisterns to get bread and water. This is a reality. That is why, because you look to the Son, because you know that when Jesus washed your sins away, you were made new. Because you know that you are here on a Friday evening and not out there partying. That is something that every one of us older people truly thank God for every one of you here. Because that is not the message of the world. That's what I'd like to explore with you today. So let's start with your brain. Next slide, thank you. Let's start talking with your brain. Why are we talking about your brain? Because your brain is where all your emotions and feelings are resting. Now, your brains, my dear young people, are what we call a work in progress. What does this mean? It means that even right now, there are connections forming and reforming, like a wiring upgrade, like a computer system. And this wiring upgrade takes place so rapidly, even right now. It's very sensitive. It starts at the time you reach puberty. Now, some of you younger ones, the 12-year-olds kind of little ones, are probably just starting puberty. And some of you older ones are like thinking, what's that? Oh, yes, that time when I suddenly thought about sex. Yeah, that was puberty. And all sorts of weird and wonderful things happen to you. If you're a girl, you started menstruating, and that was, oh, such celebration. And if you were a boy, there was nothing that dramatic, but you would have started getting erections and ejaculations, and that was pretty exciting too. So that was the time of puberty. At that time, your brain is also very actively changing. Now, why am I telling you this? It is because at that time and now, right now, it's happening, it's biological, but what you put into your brain is going to affect the wiring and therefore your attitudes, your values, and your behavior. Now, at puberty, lots of things happen in your body, but the main thing that happens is driven by what we call sex hormones, coming for boys from the testes, from girls from the ovary. Therefore, your brain at that time and now is extremely sensitive to two things that go in: things about sex and things about violence, movement, activity. That's really important to your brain. Therefore, for a moment, I want you to think, given that what you put into your brain now is going to wire your brain for the future, what are you putting into your brain? What kind of television shows are you watching? What have you got on your YouTube channels? What kind of games, online games, are you playing? My dear young people, let me tell you this. If you are watching shows, even some popular, actually quite fun shows like Game of Thrones, which has a lot of pornography in it, a lot of sex and violence, you are wiring your brain to think that that is normal behavior. And let me tell you, that is dangerous for your future. Be wise as to what you put into your brain now. You feed your brain sexual pornography. You feed your brain with reading comics like anime and hentai comics. You watch music videos that are sexual. Your brains get wired, and I'll come back to it a little more later. That's one thing. What you feed your brain matters. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:8, speaking to his friends in Philippi, said, whatever is good and pure and healthy, think about these things. Today we give it a name in science. We call it neuroplasticity. What you feed your brain wires it for the future. That's one thing. The second thing that is even more important that's happening in your brain is that not all parts of your brain are maturing at the same rate. Your brain's developing now at an inside out, back to front. The emotional brain, that bit of the middle, erupts like a volcano at puberty. Think back. One day you were really happy to be mommy's little, I don't know, Bubby Boo or Baby Boo or whatever she called you, Daddy's little possum or whatever. And the next day, you didn't want it. You wanted to find out how you were. Who am I? I want to be independent. I no longer want to hold mommy's hand when I cross the road. I can actually think of someone else's hand I'd rather be holding. That kind of feeling. of independence, of wanting to take risks. These are all an important part of growing up. And of course, getting interested in sex. And that's part of growing up. You need to do that. Otherwise, you'll be 43 like my son and still cuddled up on mommy's lap. And that would be most uncomfortable for mommy's arthritis. So the reality is that it is good things that are happening to you. So what's the problem? The problem is that the part of your brain that is what we call the executive brain, you know, the part of your brain that says, you know, you've taken that picture, you know, you've taken that picture, maybe you shouldn't press send, too late. You know, that part of the brain, the part of the brain that says, think, wait. Who wants to wait? You're starting from FOMO anyway. But the point is, that part of your brain that says, wait a bit, control yourself, what we call the control brain, that doesn't mature till you reach your mid-20s. Probably means you've got some youth workers who are still developing their control brain, but don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. So what happens when you are faced with something that is exciting and your peer or your friend say, go for it? Which part of your brain do you think you're listening to? Your emotional brain takes precedence. And your control brain is very quietly going, help, you know, I'm here. But you're not listening. You know what your brains right now are like? They're like red Ferraris on steroids. With the accelerator to the floor, hardly any brake pedal, and no GPS. None. Your GPS are those kind of not so exciting people who came here with you. They're called parents, youth workers. That is God's given GPS. My dear young people, your brains are wonderful things right now. They are capable of doing wonderful things. But what you put into it and how you train your self-control, because self-control is developing. Emotion is erupting. Self-control brain is developing. You need some help. You help yourself by developing self-control skills. It's like going to the gym. Now I'm looking at some of you guys and of the ones I can see in the lights in my face, and you all look trim and taut, and even the girls look, yep, trim and taut it is. Now you didn't get that trim taut body by just sitting at television eating popcorn, did you? You were out there doing the crunches or scrunches or whatever you do in the gym. Self-control's like that. The Bible tells us it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Work on it, my dear young ones. You have the emotion, you have the love for the Lord. Look to God's ways. It will stay with you into your future. Can we move to the next slide? I want to pick up just one thing about your emotional brain. And that is your longing to find out, who am I? I'm no longer mommy's little baby or daddy's little possum. Who am I? What is it that drives your identity and importance? What is it? Is it your social media profile? Forget Facebook, you all, that is so yesterday. Your Instagram or your Snapchat streak or whatever it is that what drives your meaning in life? Is it that to be the hot or the cool or the, I don't know, whatever, you mean hot and not and get the most downloads or hot streaks, or maybe on a Snapchat streak and counting your Snapchat streak? Is that what gives you importance? Do you have to get out there and say, look at me, aren't I the best? You want to be like everybody. You want everyone to like you, to have the most downloads. Is that what it is? Or is it, sadly, your sexuality that gives you an identity? Is it that you need to get onto Instagram or whatever and be one of those 54 plus gender categories, and that is who you are? Is that what drives your identity? Do you have to tell the world that you're a pansexual by, I don't know, whatever. You know, is that what you have to, come Sunday evening, we'll talk more about that. Is that what drives your identity? Or is it what your mirror says you are? Do you look at the mirror and say, I don't like my, whatever, part of my body? Is that what makes you think who you are? Or is it a whatever, you know, you can be who, whatever, I'll do whatever. Do you live on a you do you kind of lifestyle? You know, my dear young people, you know this. You know this. You look at your friends and you see that search for identity. You go right back to what we talked at the beginning. You search for identity in the trash bins and the toilet cisterns. You will never find happiness in looking at the world's criteria for popularity and significance. You will only fit into what we are seeing in young people like you, the rates of depression and anxiety and even suicidality and self-harm. Why? Why are your friends turning to it? It is because they're searching for something that they will never find. And next slide. Because you, young people, as children of God, the songs you sang, you know, you sang one song where you are saying, you are everything I want and more. Did you mean that? If you did, then everything I'm going to tell here will resonate with your heart. My dear young people, it is no point your singing those songs unless you mean it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ might as well be here. Jesus could be standing here and listening to you. And you know what? When he's listening to you, he can also see into your heart. And he knows whether you mean it. So you... And I pray that every one of you who are dancing in the mosh pit here really meant that in your heart. I love it to see young ones in the mosh pit. You know, that was beautiful to see you here. And I pray that you meant it. Because this is what gives you an identity. You do not have to earn it. And your identity in Christ will be an example to every one of your friends. And they will say, we want what they've got. You see, you are created in the image of God. You're not God, but you have the thumbprint of God on you. That is a wonderful thing. You are a child of God. You are chosen by God, Ephesians chapter 1. And Psalm 139, my absolute favorite. King David said, you knit me in my mother's womb. You think mommy and daddy were knitting? Sorry, mommy and daddy, if you're sitting with your child. They were having great sex. They do. If you're an only child, they had sex at least once. If you have siblings, at least that many times. You see, the reality is, you were formed in your mother's womb. Mommy didn't even know till about 6 or 7 weeks later when she started puking all over. But... God knew you and you and you and you and everyone and your daddy and mommy and everybody when you were one cell. God said, my child. That is the only identity you will ever need. You can call God daddy. You know, in a group this big, there may be some here who don't have a daddy. And some of you who may have a daddy whom, for some reason, you don't get on with. You know what? It is okay, because you've got the only daddy who matters. God says, I put the stars in space and gave them their names, and I made you. You can come up to me and say, hi, daddy. That's all we need. And therefore, your body here, this body we have, this is precious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read, you know, your body belongs to Jesus. It is Jesus's body. Your body, as in this body that's sitting in that chair, belongs to Jesus. This body is the home of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, honor God with your body. See, every single person here belongs to Jesus, the body. Every single person here is the home of the Holy Spirit. Every single person here, therefore, is honored by God. Your body is made to honor God, as is the person next to you, behind you, in front of you. So what does this mean? It means that what you do with your body here and now matters. What you do with your body when you're dating, what you do with that girl or boy you are with, that matters. You know, if you understand that, your every action will be determined by that. You will never take a nudie picture of yourself and send it to someone, particularly not of your genitals. Why? Go right back to Genesis. Adam, Eve, Adam made first, Eve brought to him by God, and he goes, "Oh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, the most beautiful girl I've ever seen." He'd never seen another one. That did help. But the reality is, she was like him. But in the part that mattered, they were nude, remember? In that part of genital, the creative bit, they came together. And it was exciting. They were made like that. And therefore, that makes those parts of your body very, very special. They are not toys to be photographed and exchanged like some kind of reject shop object. You know, you go to the reject shop and you think, "Oh, that's nice, I'll take a picture of it." And then you just delete it. Your genitals are not like that. If you take a picture and you send it to someone, apart from being child porn and you might have a police record, it is not honoring to yourself and it is not honoring to the person you send it to. Similarly, if someone asks you for a picture, be it a girl or boy, that is not honoring you and it's not honoring the other. When you are dating, what you ask your partner for has to be something that honors and builds and shows that you care, not that you want to use that person. Be very aware of this, because Jesus loves your body. Your body belongs to Jesus. What you do with your body matters. Next slide. So let's move on to talking about sex. After all, you came for sex, well, to hear about sex. So I want to talk to you about sex in three ways. I want to tell you a little bit about desire, what happens when you fall in love, and then what happens when you actually have sex. That's how we sexologists talk about sex. And I want to talk a little bit about the science and give you an understanding of culture and think, okay, as Christians then, how do we understand this? How do you speak into the culture? And you can do it. You know, the voices of you young people are far louder as Christians than any of us adults. Your witness to Jesus. You stood here and sang to the Lord Jesus Christ. My challenge is, get out to school, get out to the playground, and carry that witness out to the world. It is best from you. Not from the pastors, not from me, old woman like me, but from every one of you. You are that light that can shine for Jesus. Talking about desire. Desire starts in the brain at puberty, when your sex hormones kicked into your emotional brain. Some of you will feel a lot of desire, like sex, where can I get it, bring it to me quickly, that kind of desire. Others are like, even if I trip over it, maybe, who cares, maybe never. That's okay. It's very variable. But what it is it's a wanting. It's like, I want. That the word want. What will you hear or are hearing from culture, from your friends, from social media, from everything else that you're engaged in, is that when you desire something, now we're talking about sex, but it really is anything, if you desire sex, whatever type of sex it is, same sex, other sex, whatever sex it may be, if you desire it, it's not that you want it, but it is a need. You must have it. And if you don't have it, then You're not fulfilled. There's something wrong with you. And it is your right to get it. That is Satan's lie, my dear young people. You can live a full, healthy life never having had sex, never having had an orgasm. Orgasms at the best, you know, climax, that excitement, at best may last a minute. Holiness is for eternity. God says very clearly, desire is my gift to you. It's a gift. But you know what? Sex, the actual activity, you can live without. You can live a full life. If we think that we must have our desires met to have a full life, we are undervaluing the cross of Christ. Because Jesus went to the cross a single man without having sex. How dare we do that by saying we are not complete without having sex? I've been a doctor for almost 50 years, a sexologist for over 40. I've seen people die of lack of medicine, healthcare, water. Not one reported case of death by lack of sex. Not one. You can live, I love it. Amen. Yes. You can live. That is a fact. Don't believe Satan's lie. Desire is a gift. We just talked about how excited Adam got when he saw Eve. It is a gift from God. And feeling that spark of desire is normal. But it's a feeling. We don't live by our feelings. We live, one, by the word of God and by self-control. Remember, gym workout of self-control. So you feel the desire, but you work on your self-control. Okay, moving right along. What is this thing about falling in love? Ah, there are some of you here who look like you're in love. Even without the lights, I can see that. I can see that glow in some parts. Some of you are waiting. You can't wait to fall in love. You know that feeling of love. For those of you who are already in love, and mom and dad's here, you know what it is. You felt it. They can explain it to you. Young ones, today on the drive home or when you get home, ask mom and dad, what was it like when you first fell in love? What did you feel? You know, there's a moment when mommy was sitting there. She wasn't a mommy then. She was a cute little girl. And dad was this handsome guy with the, you know, blonde hair and six-pack and all that. And their eyes met across church. And there was this moment when they had their hearts palpitating and their eyes were dilating and it was winter and they were sweating. We call that romantic love or limerence. There is a chemical called dopamine, which is sprayed all over your brain. And that we call an emotional high. Falling in love, my dear young people, is the dopiest thing you will ever do. Driven by the chemical dopamine. Basically, other chemical changes happen. It's like an obsession. Same changes happen if you take a cocaine hit. It's an addiction. And my favorite is the part of your brain associated with rational thinking is suppressed. Ever looked at a friend who's in love and thought, what do you see in him? She ain't seeing, because love is blind. We call it acting under the influence when you're in love. It truly is. You are dopey. This is falling in love. Chemistry. God gives it such that the actual purpose is to get you up the aisle and married before you recognize actually what that person is like. It truly is. Because you know what? It doesn't last for more than 18 to 24 months. The craziness. And ask your parents about that, you know, like 5 years after marriage, when they get up and look at the mom or dad sleeping next to them, whether they still palpitate. Ask mom whether every morning when she sees daddy brushing his teeth, she gets her heart racing. unfortunately, it doesn't happen, and I'll tell you what happens after that. The reality is that love is a strong emotion. Emotion. What is our cultural story? What you will hear, my dear young people, is that if you feel that emotion, you must act on it. And the action is have sex. If I love you, it means I want your body. I want to have sex with you. You know what that is? That is not love. That is lust. That says I want you to satisfy me. It's called selfish self-gratification. My dear young people, take that on board. That is not God's way of love. Love, as God shows it to us, yes, it is powerful. Song of Songs, what I call the sealed section of the Bible. 8 chapters of erotic lovemaking between husband and wife. All of you go home and ask mom and dad, can we read Song of Songs tonight? The reality is, it's there in the Bible for a purpose, to show how wonderful love between husband and wife can be. Love, Song of Songs chapter 8 says, is as strong as death. It is unquenchable. It's a blazing fire. Fire is good in the hearth. Fire is good in the fireplace. Fire is good when it's warming you up at winter. Fire out in the bush is destructive. Love is like that. Love is an action that is terrific. The emotion, the action is beautiful in the right place and pattern that God gives. That is one man, one woman marriage. Out of that, when it is before marriage, premarital sex, casual sex, extramarital sex, same sex, anything out of God's pattern is painful and destructive. We don't play with these things. It is a powerful emotion. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, God's love for us and our love for each other, talks of love as an other-focused action, a love that looks to the other, not a love that uses the other. My dear young people, get this into your mind when you are dating, and that will hold you in good stead when you finally find that person. And some of you may stay single. That's okay, because the love then is that love of friendship, that beautiful friendship that looks and builds each other up. Why am I saying this so vehemently, I guess? It is because, as scientists, we know that sexual intimacy binds you to each other. Different chemicals kick in the brain. A chemical called oxytocin, vasopressin. These things kick in the brain and they bind you to the person you are sexually intimate with. Not just intercourse, any form of sexual intimacy. It's a binding act. It's a brain, but it's also some deep soul binding between you two. It binds you. What it does is it forms like a super glue bond, so that when you have sex, you break up. It's like tearing yourself. You leave a bit of yourself and you take a bit of that person with you, and you keep doing that. After a while, your brain is really confused and it's hard to make a commitment. This is chemistry. And that is why God calls it in Genesis a one flesh. You truly become one flesh when you're sexually intimate. Think about this. Talk about this when you do your breakout. It is that important. There is nothing casual about sexual intimacy. Sexual intimacy is always a naked and no shame activity. This is what Genesis called. Adam and Eve were naked and they felt no shame. What does that mean? Naked and no shame. Well, we don't have time, but if you had the time, I might ask for a volunteer and say, would you like to jump up here and get naked? Now, please don't volunteer. We don't have time. Thank you, sir, but I don't think we will accept that. The reality is, there's kind of two reasons you might do that. Maybe you are perfect. Maybe you are perfect. Everything is just in the right place, not a dimple, not a pimple. You stand here and everyone will go, oh. You turn around and there's a double oh. You know, all of us have some little bit of our body that we aren't that confident about. What's the other reason? Everybody in this room loves you. And you trust them all perfectly. Nobody's going to pull out that, take a little photograph and put it on Instagram or something. They won't do that because they love you too much. You trust them. Do you all trust everybody in this room? You don't even know everybody in this room. You see, there's only one place where you can be totally naked, and I'm not just talking the body. You can open up your very heart and be totally vulnerable and let someone see you for who you are and know that that person will be true to you and love you and you can trust them with your very life. And that is when that person has made promises to you that they will love you just as they loved you on the day that you were married till the day one of you die. That's called marriage. My dear young people, I've been married for 45 years. You're all young and tight and taut and, you know, I'm 71 years and things are gravity challenged. I mean, you know, I'm not sure where things go from Perth. In Sydney, they'd go down to Melbourne, but I don't know, maybe the South Pole or something. But the reality is that after all these years, and yes, if you're thinking it, we do have sex, I can still look at my husband, and although we say, oh, look where that wrinkle is, you know, I remember when it was up there. And but we still can be in that naked and no shame because we made promises. And my dear, that is why. That is what we pray for every one of you. That if you do get married, that will be the relationship. And if you're single, you still know that God loves you. My dear young people, you know, never shy away from singleness. Don't think marriage is the only thing that you can have. Sex never completes you. Having a husband or wife will never complete you. Only Christ can complete you. You sing about it. Do you believe it in your heart? Because Jesus can see into your heart. I want to just move on now and talk about one important issue for you. And that is, next slide, thank you, of watching and guarding your brains against what we call pornography. Now, however young you are, the youngest may be 12, this is something important for you because the average age of exposure to pornography in Australia is 10 years. So it's important for every young one here. This is Satan's prime tool for your brain and your heart. Satan can never create anything. Satan can take God's good gifts and twist it. And that's exactly what he does when he creates pornography. Porn is anything that is created to sexually arouse you. It is in your iPhones and your laptops, in comic books, it's on the music videos, it's everywhere. What the problem is that it takes over your brain. Can I have the next slide? I'm going to go through this very quickly. You don't have to know all the science here. But just to tell you that this we know, this is research. Research tells us that watching pornography takes over those good dopamine circuits. It floods it. It takes it over. It sensitizes it to say, I want, I want, I want. And after a while, it overloads it. And it gets numb. And it says, I want more. And I want different. And, you know, I just keep having to have this. It's not making me happy anymore. And at that point, my dear young people, you begin to see, remember what we said? Honor God with your body. Honor the body of others. No, you begin to only want porn and see other human beings as something to be just looked at like a toy, like something in a reject shop to be used. This is what happens to your brain. We are seeing it now. among young people and older people. Don't think it's just you. It's people of all ages. Next slide. Because after a while, what happens is that your brain, that control brain, actually shrinks. And you just are addicted to pornography. My dear young people, if there is anyone here who is even thinking that you might like to watch porn, or if you are tempted to watch pornography, or if you are watching pornography, please do not waste one day on it from today. Talk to your youth worker, talk to your parents, talk to someone, because you need to wash it out of your brain. We worship a God who promises to renew our mind. Romans chapter 12. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Jesus promises renewal. Claim it. Anyone here in a group this big, there will be young people. Almost 100% of teen boys would have been exposed to pornography. I'm not saying regular users, but exposed. 60% or so of girls are now looking at porn. Please don't let it remain in your life. It will destroy your dating life. No girl wants to be a porn star, gentlemen. It will destroy your marriages when you get married. We see them in the therapy rooms. Happy to take more questions. But remember that. I only am talking about this one issue, because it is an issue that we are seeing increasingly so. Remembering that what wires your brain can be rewired, and Jesus will help you, but you need to help yourself. Next slide, thank you. And so pulling this together, what then is the challenge? You are here as Christian young men and women. You sang and you prayed that you have given your lives, that you are washed. Jesus has washed your sins away. You sang that that is your happy day. How are you going to live this happy life that Jesus has called you to? You see, you need to consciously use self-control to flee, to run away when your friends invite you to watch porn, when they invite you, when they challenge you to send a nudie to somebody, when your friends are saying, do this, do that. Your wisdom, that control systems that are still developing, your control brain. Ask friends, think about other Christians you can talk to, your parents, your youth, maybe an older Christian friend. Get assistance, because your mind is still young, it's still your emotional brain. And so flee, but you can't just flee, you've got to flee towards something. So flee towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee towards righteousness. Pray, read the Bible, but ask people, ask friends, ask other Christian friends. It is so important. Next slide. And finally, if there is anyone here who is felt challenged by anything we talked about, maybe you've had sex and you're thinking, you know, I've already had sex, I've formed these bonds. Remember, we worship a God who has promised to wash us. You already sang about it. We do not worship a God who is like one strike and you're out. We are Christians who know that when we repent, we are saved. Jesus accepts you exactly as you are, but he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. He wants you to grow, and you're here because you want to grow. You are here to have fun and to sing and do the dancing in the mosh pit to happy day, but you are also called to live your life outside this place. To show the world that you as a Christian can show what those happy days and that washing in your heart can truly be when you are faced with a world that is confused about sex and relationship, and they can look at you and think, I want to be like them. And that will bring people to Jesus. That is our prayer for you. May I just pray with you. Father God, we just pray for every person here. We pray especially for every young person here. Father, we just thank you that every young person, every life here, the beautiful potential, Father, we just pray for their lives and their witness in the world. Help them to be that light on the hill that draws their friends to you, and their lives be a witness to you. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's show our appreciation to Dr. Rukun. Thank you.